on, guys? Back at again with another episode of Og Talk. So today is going to be about faith in the everyday. Sorry, we just woke up. It's kind of a early morning podcast. Usually we do this in the afternoon, but we have to do it early today because he is working the afternoon. But yeah, faith in everyday, and then walking in love, not judgment. Our key scriptures are going to be James 2:13 and 2 Corinthians 5:7. James 2:13 says, "Because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment." 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." The reason why we want to talk about this is because this is one of the biggest things that pushes people away from the church, just because faith is not what it is like, just what's seen by people or whatever the case may be. I can be like the most holiest Christian in public, but then I could be a terrible person behind closed doors. Like, I could be watching succulent videos, watching terrible things, cussing all the time and whatever, but then I go to church or I go to any other service within the week and I'm just like this all holy dude, but behind closed doors, I'm really not. So obviously you feel some type of way that you have to be a certain person whenever you're going into the church. You feel like you have to change a lot of things. You can't do a lot of things within the church. But as a church is really supposed to be, it's not supposed to be judgmental. You're supposed to come as you are. And a lot of times when people do come as they are, a lot of people push them away. And that's not what a church is supposed to do. A church is supposed to welcome them, let them feel the love of Jesus, and et cetera. Obviously, you can't, like, just if a murderer walks in and he's ready to murder everybody, you can't just be like, yeah, we love you. But it's like you have to, I wouldn't say sugarcoat it, but deliver things out of love and not out of
condemnation.
Yeah. So that's what today's episode's going to be about. Well, I'm just going to get started with my week. I took an exam yesterday. Today is Wednesday. No real big updates besides I got a second dog. His name is Milo. He's a great Pyrenees. I got that. But really, other than that, there's really no crazy updates. Just been work. Oh, I'm going to get a truck over the summer so that we can start moving stuff around, making money off of that way. That's another update that's going to happen. And that's really all that I have for updates.
Yeah, nothing really much for me as well. I haven't had any significant events that is needed to be talked about. But like Frederick said, that we're going to be talking about faith and everyday and walking in love and not judgment. This episode is for anyone who's felt like discouraged by any Christians or that who just Christian forgot to lead with grace. A lot of the friends and family members that I talk about that don't want to come to church and come to Christ is because of the people of the church. They're constantly being shown false prophets or false teachers or false Christians that say, yeah, I'm a Christian and I'm this, I'm that. But like you said, like he said previously, they live whatever life they want to live outside the church. And it's not to say that changing your surroundings and going to church and having godly friends and doing your due diligence and switching your surroundings, but it's also switching your surroundings and living for something that is not true. I was actually watching a sermon last night before I went to sleep, or as I was going to sleep, and it's from the 2019 church or 2018 church. Nope, 2819 church. And I don't know, it's early. And he was saying that I'd rather be hated for who I really am than be loved for someone that I'm not. And that really hit me because, you know, if in your heart you know that you're wanting to get closer to God, then truthfully you're going to do the things that you want to do to get closer to him. But if a person's saying, you know, I believe in God and I know his teachings and I know this, but they continuously live the way that they want to live, then that's clearly showing that they're not actively pursuing Lord. And faith isn't just like a church thing. It's also inherently everything. Like, you have faith that every day you're going to wake up. You have faith every day that there's going to be air for you to breathe. You have faith every day that you're going to find something to eat, that you're going to I mean, sometimes you even have faith that you're going to make it home that night. So, like, faith isn't just like a church thing. It's a lot about just to talk about faith and how we live when no one's watching.
Yeah, that's a that's a big thing. And then I think, like, faith is a way of, like, showing love, and showing mercy is a way of, like, showing love, because you have to think about, like, in a relationship sense, a lot of people talk about, like, how God doesn't love you because of all these things or whatever the case may be. But I think, like, faith is a way of showing love. And the reason I say that is if you're in a relationship with somebody and you decide to, like, let's just say you're really, really argumentative person, or you're really just a mean person, you're just a jerk, and you're with somebody, I think that showing them faith that, okay, like, this is not what he means to do. He doesn't mean to yell at me. She doesn't mean to yell at me. She doesn't mean to get annoyed at me, or whatever the case may be. And I'm just going to continue being a good person because I have faith that she will recognize that me showing her this grace, showing her this love, is going to help her get over what type of drama, help him get over what type of drama that they have witnessed in the past, and I can show them X, Y, and Z. But if I didn't have that faith that that was going to happen, I feel like it would be like, oh yeah, I'm just going to leave. You know, I can't deal with this, so I'm just going to leave the relationship and X, Y, and Z. Now, there are definitely some balances and circumstances too. If, like, you keep showing faith and you keep showing grace and they keep taking advantage, then there's just, that's the time that you just got to recognize to leave. You know, you got to pray about that and stuff like that. But other than that, you know, whenever you get married, you don't really get that option. But whenever you get married, it's kind of like you have to realize that, like, okay, this person's coming from this background, and you have the faith that they're going to change, but not for you, for the better of themselves. And the only thing you can do is sit there and help them realize. We were at church on Monday, and there was this beautiful thing that our leader had said, that I had said the saying, we're called to be complete, not to compete. But he corrected me and said that we're called to complement each other, not compete, because he said if you complete. He said if you complete, that means, like, oh, that Jesus isn't the only one that can complete you. Some significant other can complete you. But in reality, it's like you can be completed before you are with somebody, because you are completed with Jesus. And then with whenever you get with somebody, you are complementing each other. And the reason I bring that into this is because that faith that y'all are complimenting each other is going to help y'all grow as people, because it, like he said, it's not just a church thing. Faith is everywhere. You have faith all over the place. And rather you, like, we talk a lot about it, but do we actually live it when no one's watching? You know, we go to church, we're all happy and dandy in our relationship, but then when we get home, we're just back to arguing. We're back to this and that. Like, to me, that's not really walking in faith. You know, like, every time, like, you know, typically a pastor ends a sermon, they always say, like, are you going to walk out of here changing or listening to what the word had said? Or are you just going to be like, oh, that was a really good message, and then go back home and do the normal things that you normally do? You get back to yelling at your kids and beating your kids. You get back to yelling at your wife, yelling at your husband. You get back to being disrespectful, or whatever the case may be. But then you're like, oh yeah, that was a good sermon on Sunday. Oh yeah, you know, that was cool. I'm just gonna, like that was a good lesson. But then you just do what you normally do. That's why I brought that up, just because that's a way of showing faith that someone is going to change, or help them, you know, be better, whatever the case may be, because you're showing them that love. So I think that faith and love go together. And whenever you have faith in Christ, or whatever the case may be, I think that shows love. I think that shows you love God, because you are going off of faith and you're doing these things out of faith, because you trust that X, Y, and Z is going to be delivered from whatever they're going through.
Yeah, no, like you said, faith and love really do go together. When you're, let's say you're in a relationship, you have to have faith that your relationship, for one, as a Christian, you have to have faith that your relationship is going to work out. You have to have faith that God gave you this relationship and that y'all are here to work on things together. A lot of people think in a relationship it's mainly just, oh, I love this person, they love me, yada, yada, yada. But like, truly, when you're with a person that you love, admire, and respect, you're trying to challenge them to make them a better person. And, you know, when you are in a relationship, rather it's boyfriend and girlfriend, friends or family, having that faith that things are going to work out is really the very, very intelligent way to go about doing things. If you're honestly always trying to fix something on your own, someone's mad at you, you're trying to fix it. Someone doesn't like you, you're trying to fix it. Something happens, you're trying to fix it. Where does it leave God to work? And even me, I have this very, very bad issue of trying to fix everything on my own. And with that being said, having obedience within the Lord is having faith. Because if you're trying to fix things on your own, then you feel like the Lord is not going to provide for you. And if the Lord isn't going to provide for you, then you don't believe in God, because God is the provider. He is the one that's going to give you everything you need, not everything you want. And that's the difference between where faith comes in and where belief comes in. The devil believes in God. Atheists sometimes believe in God. Like, there's people that just believe in God. That doesn't mean that they abide by his teachings. That doesn't mean that they pursue his heart. That doesn't mean that they are willing to change for the better. They can understand and believe God, but do they have faith that he's going to truly do what he says he's going to do? Do they have faith that he is the real creator of all things? And with that being said, a lot of the times, even with Christianity, walking by faith means just trusting God, not just with our future, but how we treat people. It's in how we speak, how we react, how we show up. The question is, are we walking by faith, or are we actually walking by fear? Because if you're not walking in faith, you are walking in fear. If you have faith in God, you're going to have that ability to be like, regardless of the situation or the circumstances that I'm in, I know that God is going to bring me to a standstill in a better spot than I was before. Let's say you're in a relationship. You and your girl are fighting. As much as you love that woman, if she's trying to walk out of your life, or he's trying to walk out of your life, that's not them leaving. That's God pushing them away so that you can have something better. Even if that means being single. Even if that means there's another person waiting for you. Regardless of the circumstances, having faith in God in that circumstance has the ability to, okay, I'm not going to fear about what's going on. I'm not going to worry and have anxiety about what's going on. I know that whatever the situation is, whatever the circumstance is, I could be broke, homeless. I know for a fact that the Lord is going to provide me with what I need. And that's truly having faith.
Yeah, that's the literal definition of being obedient right there. And that's going to bring us into our next big topic about when Christians push people away. It kind of falls into this subject, because a lot of the times we ourselves push other Christians away because we don't do what he said. We're very like, we don't accept, I guess, like accept those certain things. And we, first of all, we deliver them out of love, you know, right? Like, you're in a relationship and God's pushing somebody away from you, or you're recognizing these things that somebody's being pushed away from you. A lot of the times, of our own pride or whatever the case would be, we'll choose to stay in this relationship, become more toxic, become X, Y, and Z. Like, there's so much battling going on. Then you see like an outside atheist, Buddhist, Hindu, or whatever the case may be, they're looking at this and they're like, like, this doesn't really look very happy. This doesn't really look like anything good is coming out of this, because it's because of our own selfish self. We're trying to keep a relationship that we're probably not really meant to be in. And that's one of the examples of like how that can push somebody away. Like, a lot of people think that, oh, immediately pushing somebody away is like being mean to them or whatever. Yes, that's another problem. But a lot of the times you can push people away by just how it doesn't even necessarily literally have to affect them. They can look at something and be like, I don't want to be a part of that. Like, they can see that they don't want to be a part of that. Just like if I'm raising kids or whatever the case may be, and I'm forcing Christianity down their throat or whatever the case, someone on the outside is going to look at that and be like, that does not look good, especially if you're not leading by example, especially if your relationship is messed up and then you're forcing this down your kid's throat and your relationship with Jesus isn't that good and you're forcing it down your kid's throat. And like he said, that at that point you're living by fear, because a lot of people be like, oh, I don't want my son to go to hell, so like, I'm just going to do this and he better da 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 da. And it's like, a lot of people are just going to look at you and be like, oh yeah, no, I definitely don't want to be a part of that. Like, that's something that I don't want to be in. And when on the other hand, what true Christians are supposed to do is, one, they have to lead by example. So you really, my personal opinion is, you really shouldn't be having kids until you have the foundation of Christ actually within your relationship, so that you can show your children, this is what it looks like in a relationship to walk with God. And then if you do that, right, other people are going to look at it and be like, oh my gosh, like, how is a relationship so healthy? Like, why are they not fighting all the time? Why are they not this? Oh, why are they not that? And people will see that and they'll be like, like, I want what they have. I want, like, oh my gosh, like, the way they raise their kids, like, their kids, like, did this, and this, and the like, they're still disciplining them, but the amount of love they show while disciplining them, like, I would expect somebody to, you know, give that kid a whooping or something like that, but the way that he decided or she decided to go about disciplining that kid is something that I never would have thought of. I never would have X, Y, and Z. So it shows that, like, that will bring people in instead of pushing them away. And then, like, the biggest topic, you know, pushing them away is judgment. As soon as they do something, and my biggest thing, right, what's it called, is, let's just say somebody that drinks a lot or whatever the case may be, and then they want to stop drinking, they want to stop doing that, and immediately we're just like, yeah, you gotta stop doing that, bro, like, you're gonna ruin your life and blah 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 blah, and just vomit all of this terrible things in their head or whatever the case may be, when you can actually deliver that out of love. You can be like, hey man, look, I see that you got a drinking problem or whatever the case may be, and I'm not trying to sit here and tell you that I'm perfect or whatever the case may be, but I don't want you to hurt yourself because of this drinking problem. I don't want you to get into a car accident. I don't want you to do this. I don't want you to do that. Man, you can, anytime you feel the need to drink, you can come talk to me, man. Like, you can let everything out, because I feel like you're not drinking just to, like, drink. I feel like there's something else that's causing you to do that. So anytime you feel like you need to go drink or whatever the case may be, man, I'm here for you, man. Just give me a call, man. Just talk to me. We can go to a coffee shop, man. We can do this, man. We can do that, man. I am looking out for you, and I want to help you. And if you deliver it like that, it's going to be like, oh wow, like, this guy isn't just condemning me. This guy wants to help me. Like, this guy sees that I have something and he doesn't want me. It's going to show them that you care about them, not that you're just like condemning them because you're in a religion. It's going to show that you care about them. It's going to show that you love them. It's going to show them that. And once they see that, it may not happen overnight, but if you continue showing that love to them, I promise you, or I bet you, one day you're going to get that call, man. You're going to be, he or she's going to be like, man, I'm da 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 da, and they're going to feel like they can open up to you. And then that's your choice to go and help them and live by exactly what you were saying. That's actually walking in it, instead of like saying it and then they call you and you're like, man, yeah, I can't deal with this. But you're like, you drop everything. You're at work, anything. You drop everything and you're like, man, look, I'm on my way. Or, hey man, I'm on the phone. Just tell me everything. Talk to me right now, man. Just give it all, man. But you're at work, man. That doesn't even matter right now. Man, you matter. And once you show them that, it's going to be a whole brand new perspective to them. They're going to be like, this person really cares about me. I want to be like him. I want to help people like he does. And that's going to bring people in, instead of you condemning them. Man, you shouldn't be drinking. Man, you shouldn't be doing this. Man, you shouldn't be doing that. Man, you shouldn't be blah, 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 blah. Man, blah, 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 blah. Man, the word says this. The word says that. But the word also says to deliver out of love. So that's a big problem with Christians nowadays, is we immediately jump to condemning and we don't immediately jump to how can we help. We jump to telling somebody how to be better in their life, but we don't jump to how we can help them be better in their life. We don't, that's not, that's what Christians don't do that. And also, there's this also biggest thing that I heard is, what's it called? Looking at the log in your own eye before you like go after somebody's speck. Soon as somebody tells you something like that or whatever, one, that's them being vulnerable. And a lot of people aren't vulnerable off the rip. So first of all, applaud them for that. Applaud them for letting you know like they're going through this, because a lot of people can't do that, especially men. And then two, it's whenever you're talking about that type of stuff and you go and help them, just recognize if you have done anything or whatever the case may be and how much it hindered you, so you can speak from an experience and tell them, look, this is why, like, I really think you should turn away from this, because I did this and that, and I, bro, and it cost me so much and I didn't realize it, and I don't want that happening to you. So in my opinion, that's delivering something out of love. That's walking by love and not by judgment, because you're letting them know that these things that are they're doing are actually hindering them and not letting them be the best person that they can be. Old man finna talk.
You kind of yapped for a good minute. I'm not gonna lie. It kind of went off of everything. Like he was saying.
It is early, guys. So, like, you know, cut us some slack. Cut us some slack.
Like he was saying, a lot of people leave the church and leave Christianity because of judgment and condemnation, and wanting to be perfect before they come to Christ. Christians are not perfect, and the literal meaning of being Christian is stating that I'm a sinner, I can't do things on my own, I need a Savior, I need help, I need the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And
right, my bad.
And when there's two reasons why people leave the church. It's for one, being hypocrites. If you're telling somebody not to do something while actively doing it, they're going to look at you and be like, well, you're doing it, so why can't I do it? That's just kind of how humans are. So with Christianity, I had this question too, because I'm like, when does it become a point where you can become a pastor? You become, quote unquote, so holy where you have the ability to not judge anybody, but like judge them righteously, or even just give them advice on something. And my pastor told me is when you stop struggling with that thing that they're dealing with and you have the advice to help them out, that's when you can do that. But if you try to become a teacher and help them out in every single avenue, even though you're struggling in that avenue as well, it's going to harm their relationship with God, but more than support the relationship with God, because they're like if I'm a drinker, I'm a bad drinker, and I'm like drinking, telling somebody you shouldn't drink. Very, very hypocritical. If I'm a person that's been delivered by drinking, knows how to stop drinking, yes, I still deal with other sins, but I know how to stop drinking, and I'm telling them, hey, you know, I've dealt with this, this is how you should do it. Like Frederick said, give them advice, help them out, always be there for them. People leave the church not because of God, but because of us. We judge them for their mistakes and their past and the way they look and act, but Jesus never did that to us. Jesus never judged
us. Jesus sat down with sinners.
That's what I'm saying. Like with the girl that was basically a prostitute, and they drug her to Jesus and threw her at the feet of Jesus and said, what are we going to do with her? And Jesus says, if you've never sinned, throw the first rock or throw the first stone. All of them begin to walk away because they know they've all sinned. And the only person that sat there was Jesus. And he says, I condemn you not. Basically saying, I don't judge you. Just go and stop sinning. So the ability to tell people, most people try to act very holy. Hey, you know, come to Christ. Like, he's going to make your life better. Like, I've been doing better. Like, you should do it too. Okay, that's understandable. But Christ loves the broken. He heals the broken. There is no need for a doctor who's in healthy. Like, there's no need for a doctor for a person who's healthy. Jesus comes down to save the sinners. And if you lead with, hey, I'm a sinner too. I struggle with these things too. I'm not perfect. So when I'm telling you, hey, it's probably better for you to not do these things, it's not me saying, oh, I'm this holy person, I'm just better than you because I'm a Christian. No, I'm stating that I am a bad person. I have sinful natures. So I need God just like you need God. And having faith without love becomes a weapon. When you don't use faith to have the ability, okay, Lord, pray for them. You know, a lot of people don't like to use prayer because it feels like it's not doing anything at the time. And it feels like it's just inherently just you talking to yourself. But truly, when you pray and when you're asking even a 2-second prayer in the middle of a conversation, asking Jesus Christ or Holy Spirit, please speak through me, you know, those little prayers every day or just getting into your word will help you out in the future in so many situations. And when we shame others and we aren't walking by faith and we're walking in pride trying to say, oh, I'm a Christian now, God loves me, I haven't done this and this and this, I haven't done that and that and that. Like, God stands for unity. You're supposed to bring more people close, not use Christianity as a crutch or as a pride, as in, oh yeah, I stopped drinking, I stopped this, I stopped that. That's great. But as you stop those things, you want to go and help other people, not just flex that you've stopped these things or not just flex that God has helped you with these things.
No, literally. Because one thing that Demetrio had helped me realize, because we were going back and forth at our job one time, but he had helped me realize that, like, a lot of Christians, right, a lot of people that are coming into Christ, right, obviously don't understand what it is to, like, be under Christ, you know? So, like, they feel like they have X, Y, and Z to do. Like, they feel like, okay, so how do I pray? And then a Christian's just like, oh, well, you just pray.
No. Just talk to God.
You just talk to God, and you're like, well, okay, I don't know how to do that.
Also,
I don't know.
We've been so pushed to learn something a certain way,
mm-hmm.
like, or have things so specific to certain ways. Hey, you should pray and talk to God. You can talk to God as a normal person. Hey, God, I'm struggling with this. I don't know what to do. Please help me. Or mm-hmm. you can talk to him formally. Dear Heavenly Father, I'm praying, I'm asking these things. Like, you can do it formally, or you can just talk to him normally. Both ways are ways that you can build the relationship. But a lot of the times, I was telling them, Christians don't give, like, solutions.
Yeah,
they just give reasonings.
Yeah, they just give, like, oh, well, I don't know. This is this, and I don't know. This is and that. But, like, if you're a Christian and you really don't know how to explain it, biggest thing that our pastor was telling us is give your testimony. Be like, well, look, man, look. I personally don't know how to perfectly pray or whatever the case may be, but I don't know how to perfectly pray or whatever the case may be, but here's what I do. I get in a quiet room. I X this, this, and that. Now, I don't know if that's going to work for you, but that's somewhere where you can start. That's what I do to pray. Or if it's like, man, I just don't know how to get delivered from drinking, this, this, and that. You can tell them what you could tell them what you did, obviously, because God works in mysterious ways. God's going to bring that person to you because most likely you had a drinking problem and you stopped.
It's most mainly relational.
Relative. Yeah. So like they want to hear it from you. So stop saying that, oh yeah, this just happened and I was just delivered from drinking. Give your testimony. If you can't say anything else, give your testimony and be like, well, look, I figured out that I needed to stop drinking because I saw this, this, and this, and I started recognizing that these things were hurting everybody that was around me. I got into a car accident, and I almost killed somebody, blah, 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 and start telling your testimony. And then you're like, well, when I realized this, I really saw that I had a problem. And once I recognized I had a problem, then I went to prayer. And when I started praying about it, this is how I prayed about it, and da-da-da-da-da. And then next thing you know, I'm no longer drinking because of this rabbit hole I went down. And even though they're going to be like, okay, that wasn't concrete, but maybe I should start thinking about how it's affecting me and other people. Maybe I should start doing that instead of just figuring out a way that, oh yeah, I just need to find this concrete way to stop drinking. Because since you gave your testimony, it's going to give them the mindset of thinking about, like, how it truly is affecting them and the ones around them. And that's the biggest thing that's going to make somebody change, is because, like, when you're in a relationship, right, and you see that something is hurting your girlfriend or you see that something is hurting your boyfriend, you typically are like, man, holy cow, I need to change this. Because it's like once you recognize that it's not just, especially when it's not just affecting you and it's affecting the people that you love around you, then you're like, whoa, I probably need to do something about this. It gives you a different perspective of then somebody just telling you, hey, you need to stop doing that.
Yeah, no, I'm going to give two things. For one, I think that was very correct. A lot of people try to be biblical scholars off the rip. They try to learn every single thing about the Bible. And me, I want to learn everything about the Bible, but it's not because I want to teach or I want, like, I truly just want to have that knowledge within me. So if someone does ask me questions, I have the knowledge to give. But like he said, giving your testimony gives a different revelation for them. It gives them a different mindset of it. It's not just, oh yeah, this is what God said, this, and this. A lot of the times, people that aren't Christian, they don't believe in Jesus. So if you don't believe in Jesus, they're not going to go off of Jesus and the biblical principles. So if they don't care about Jesus, then we can't judge them, because if you care about Jesus, then you're going to do what Jesus, like if you love Jesus, you're going to obey his commands, like he says in the Bible. And people only want to go off of biblical terms. They're like, how do you do this? And they're like, well, it says in the Bible this, or it says in the Bible that, or it says in the Bible this.
They've never even read the Bible.
And they've never read the Bible. And they're just sitting there like, okay, yeah, it says this in this book that everybody has. But, you know, people always say, man-made book. Well, I don't know who else is supposed to make it, but that's what people use. So, like, you don't always have to be a biblical scholar to bring or lead somebody, even though they've already been touched by the Holy Spirit, to lead somebody to Christ. Because we don't deliver anybody. We just help them get, we just pull them in like a brother and sister. Hey, you should be over here. You should come with me. You should help me. You should come to my church. We can talk whenever you need help. Like, you're just being a lending hand. And the second thing was, and it kind of ties into our next segment, is what walking by faith really looks like. When you walk by faith and you believe in God, that means that you know that he's stronger than anything that you are going to deal with. With that being said, prayer is the way that you can talk to God and ask him for help. If you're asking for help through prayer, that means that you're actually having faith in God. Every time you pray, that's you having faith in God. If you aren't praying and you aren't trying to pursue and get into God's word, then you don't have faith in him. Let's say something happens like, okay, my leg breaks. I'm praying that my leg, and they're saying, hey, you can either have surgery, or if you don't have surgery, your leg's not going to heal. And I don't have the money for surgery, and I don't want to go through surgery. So in that hindsight, I can either figure out how to do it on my own. Maybe I should figure out how to do a credit card. Maybe I could pay it this way. Or you stop what you're doing, stop how you're thinking, have faith in God right then and there, and be like, okay, God, this is not in my control. This is only for you. I'm praying for help. And asking that is having that faith. And it's basically, what does it look like? You know, listen more and judge less. Pray before you speak to somebody. Pray before you post something. Pray before you buy something. Pray before everything. If you feel like there is any type of indecisiveness or just the bit, or like you're going on your own understanding or leaning on your own understanding, pray before you do all of those things. It's going to help you, because like I said, prayer is having faith. Having the ability to be available for somebody and just be there for them. Like Frederick said, like, I had a problem with smoking and I still do a little bit, but I'm not going to go to somebody and tell them, yeah, no, you can smoke, it's perfectly fine. Like, no, I'm going to tell them, like, yeah, no, I'm struggling with this, and I want to stop, and I'm trying every way to stop. But if I'm not praying about it, like, when you tell somebody, I'm trying to do better as a Christian, most people are just like, well, just give it to God. That's very understandable. But a lot of the times, people don't understand that a lot of people already do pray. Mm-hmm. And it's not they pray enough. They might not pray enough, but they do pray. They do try to have faith in God. And when they feel like they don't hear him, or he's not close enough, or they're not getting conviction anymore, or they're very far away from God, they tend to fall off of praying, and it changes their aspect on it. So with that being said, like,
nah, really, low-key, I want to bounce off of that, because our pastor, our leader told us something, and this is really, I really want you guys to think about this, right? Because prayer does work, but you can't do no work and then expect the prayer to work. Biggest thing he told us is like, if I sit on a couch all day, and then I pray, yeah, I won't be a billionaire.
Well, not even that. Imagine God gave you a prophecy, and God says, you're going to become a billionaire. I'm going to give you so many things to help build my kingdom. I'm going to give you a mass amount of money to help other people, not to use it selfishly, but to help other people. And you're like, okay, bet. But all you do is sit on the couch all day.
It's not going to happen. And you may pray. You can pray all day long. God, you told me this. Well, he didn't expect you to just sit there.
And with that being said, let me give you an example. When Mary and Joseph. When Mary and Joseph, God gave them and told them, I'm going to give you a child. You are going to have a child. All you have to do, and he didn't even tell him to be patient. He just said, no, he did. He said, just wait. I'm going to give you a child. Yet they didn't have faith in God, and they felt like they needed to do something. Now, sometimes God tells you to just wait, to be patient, to just trust in him. And if he says he's going to do something, he's going to do it. A lot of times in Christianity, we pray and we don't feel like it's going to happen. Or we pray and we're like, okay, I'm going to go about my day and not truly have faith in that prayer. When you pray, you're in your head, it's given directly to the kingdom. It's given directly to Jesus. And he's going to do something about it. He might not do something in the way that you want it to be done, but he'll do it in the way that he wants it done. And he'll do it on his time. So just because it's a no or a wait or
right now,
I need you to work right now. It's all in obedience. And like the last one that we have is how we live that out is correct in love and not shame. Jesus came down and he corrected in love. He told them what the real was and told them to just go and sin no more. He didn't judge them for the things that they did. He didn't judge, oh, you used to be a prostitute, have sex with all these women. You're sinful.
Just a terrible person.
You're just a terrible person. I can't use this person. Like, imagine if Jesus came down and was like, and was about to die for a sin to go, oh, well, they're going to deny me anyway, so there's no point in doing it.
No cap.
Like, no, he came and he corrected in love. And, you know, it's about having mercy with that as well.
Yeah, no, definitely. Like, it's like whenever you correct your kids or correct a friend or whatever the case may be, there's always two ways to do it. The goal is the same, but there's always two ways to correct somebody. You can correct them out of love. You can deliver it out of love. You can still be stern. It doesn't mean you have to be like, well, if you want to do it. No, it doesn't mean you got to be like that.
Like, but if you come to your homeboy and he's continuously drinking and going out to the club, hey, man, I love you. I don't want you to go down this path. I want you to understand that where you're going is leading to death. And
it's not going to fulfill you, bro.
It's not going to fulfill
you. Like, I got you. Or I could have been like, man, you shouldn't you're be stupid. Doing X, Y,
why
Z.
Are you doing
dumb
this?
And
like, how I did could, you even make that decision?
Like,
God don't want to help out nobody that's making stupid decisions like that.
Yeah,
why aren't you
could
praying?
Say, you could
why
completely
aren't you doing
say
that?
It like that. And what, bro, if I was him, I would never come back to my friend again. You know what I'm saying? So like, there's two ways to deliver it. Once people realize that you actually care about them, or you see them and you hear them, it changes their perspective. It changes their thoughts on everything, because they're like, oh, wow, like this person generally cares about me. And like, he sees what's about to happen to me, and he doesn't want that to happen to me because he cares about me.
And sometimes you got to also not try to use your words as much. Jesus always says, listen, be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. If your friend comes to you and you're supposed to be his accountability partner, and he's trying to stop smoking weed, and he's like, hey, man, I tried to stop, or I was stopping. I got around my friends after a certain point. They were like, hey, man, hit this. And I hit it. And sometimes it's better to be silent and show how to get things done by your actions. Walking to faith is also, and bringing people to Christ is also, bringing people to Christ is also just doing Christly things, working in action. Someone sees, someone comes to you and go, hey, man, how did you stop smoking? How did you stop drinking? How did you stop having lustful thoughts and stop watching pornography? How did you get over these things? And a lot of the times, let's say a person is very sad in their life, and this one person comes in and they're always bringing light. They're always joyful. They're always happy. They're always patient. They never really get angry. They're not yelling. That person sees that and goes, what is that? What is it about them? And they ask you, hey, man, what? Why are you so happy all the time? This place sucks. Everybody's energy sucks. Everybody comes in upset. Nobody wants to work here. Everybody hates the managers. Why are you so happy? And that's when you can give your testimony, man. It's just Jesus. Oh, well, who's Jesus? How does he do this? How does he do that? And that's when you can start using your words. But first, it's shown by action. And with that being said, we're going to kind of close it off, but we're going to give y'all a challenge of the week. This week, look for one moment where you
watch out for it. Like, watch out for one moment where you would usually judge somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And then instead, like, in the moment, like, remember this podcast. In the moment, that, whoop, let me choose grace and see what happens. It doesn't matter who it is. It could be some random person. It could be a friend. It could be someone that you see on a day-to-day, whatever the case may be. But that's what you should do. You should, in a moment where you would usually judge somebody, try choosing grace instead. That's our challenge for the week, and we got to get up out of here. So I want to thank you guys for watching. There will be more episodes next week. And we're going to be talking about overcoming distractions, because there's a lot of things that will cause Christians to be distracted, and this will also mess up their walk in faith. You guys will see how this series kind of ties in together. But yeah, so until then, make sure that you guys are truly walking in faith and truly walking in love, and not a judgmental sense, in an actual good sense.
Yeah, we appreciate y'all from coming in to watch the listen to the AWG talk. Until then, we're going to stay grounded in love, keep walking in faith, and remember that you're not alone. As AWG is called Align with God, we wanted to build a community of like-minded people, of like-minded Christians, wanting and pursuing the love of Lord. And to understand that you're not alone, Jesus stands for unity. Jesus wants everybody to be together, every single person, even the murderers, rapers, and all those things, the people that have already sinned and have very sinful desires. He wants them to be in the kingdom as well. So when to remember that you're not alone is also to remember that at a certain point, you might need help. You might need a mentor. You might need an accountability partner. You might need a friend or family member that is in the Christian faith that needs help. Understand that you truly aren't alone. One, Jesus is always by your side, and you can always ask for help with anybody. Even if you feel like you have nobody, you can contact us. We'll pray for you. We'll give you the advice that we have, of the knowledge that we have, and the wisdom that we've gotten. And if we don't, we'll go ask somebody and give you the wisdom that our pastor gives you. So don't feel like you're alone. Don't feel like, even if you don't have anybody around you, we are here because we want a community based off of biblical principles. So thank you for walking with this journey together, and we're out.
Bye, guys.